This might be a story that Luann and Mike might like as teachers. But this is just something I found, and it's supposed to be a true story, but it was about a second grade teacher who was teaching their class about magnets and what they can do. And the next day, she gave her class of second graders a written test. And one of the questions on the test was this. My full name has six letters. The first one is an M, and I pick things up. Do you see where this is going? And the teacher was astonished when she went over to grade the papers that almost 50% of the class answered that question, mother. So today we honor mothers, not just because you pick things up, but for, first of all, being pro-life, as Mike said, but for giving us life and teaching us and training us in the way we should go. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. We're here to honor mothers, but more importantly, Father, we want to give you honor and glory. We're here because of you, ultimately. We're here because we love you, we want to learn from you, we want to worship you. And so we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move freely amongst us this morning as we look at your word. In your name we pray, amen. Abraham Lincoln once said that no man is poor who has a godly mother. And so I wanted to briefly talk about mothers this morning, and I was trying to think of a godly mother. Mary, could you come up with somebody we could talk about? Hannah. Hannah was a mother who dedicated her child to the Lord, and Mary talked about that a little bit, and I had to think, we dedicate our children to the Lord today, but it's a little different, isn't it? We're promising when we do that as parents that we're going to raise them up and train them and tell them about the Lord and do that all we can as parents. But that's a big responsibility of a mother. But Hannah was a mother who dedicated her child to the Lord in a different way. She had no children, and she really wanted to be a mom. And so we're going to listen to 1 Samuel verses 10 and 11. Dave's going to read that for us.
First Samuel 10, verse 10 and 11. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.
I had to think what was required of Hannah to be able to dedicate Samuel to the Lord, and I think there are characteristics that are important to a mom today. But the first one is she had to trust the Lord. She had to trust the Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, this is a while ago for me, but when your children were little, did you just let anybody watch them if you had to go away for a night or for a couple days? You wanted to find someone that you could trust, that you knew would take care of them and watch over them and love them. So Hannah had to trust God to do that. The other things that she had to do all kind of revolve around one word that it's important to a mom, and that's love. A mother should love her children. Hannah had to love the Lord. And we see that she did in these verses that Dave read, because she was in deep anguish and she was hurting, and she was able to share that with her Heavenly Father. And she asked him for a child. The other thing is she had to love God above all else. She had to love God more than her spouse. We have to love God more than our spouse, than our children, than our friends, than our jobs, than even ourselves. God needs to be the most important thing in our lives, in our hearts, just as it was for Hannah. And I think Hannah had to understand that she couldn't love her child as much as God could. Hannah understood that, and she was willing to give this young boy to the Lord, knowing that she was only going to see him, Mary said, once a year. Once a year she would make that journey. As a mother, can you just imagine? You probably couldn't wait for that time to go worship the Lord at Shiloh so that you could see your little boy. One of the most important things you can do as moms this morning is to tell your children about God, to raise them up to know him and love him. And not all of us have godly mothers. Some of us may not have even known our mom. But I'm thankful that I had a mother that loved the Lord. And I can't give her a Mother's Day card today. But she's at a better place today as well, and I know that. And I'm thankful. Often I think about both Judy and I had godly parents, and that's important, you know, and growing up in life. So as a mom, that would be your challenge today. Be a godly mom. And I think there's no greater joy than to see your child accept the Lord. If you can remember those days, some of your moms here. Isn't that an awesome feeling when you know that your child loves the Lord? So in honor of moms, I had two gifts today. This is going to get us into the rest of the sermon. So I need two moms. I'm too cheap, I didn't bring one for every mom, but only two. So who are the special moms I should give these to? Would any mom like to? Well, Joanne, you're sitting in the front. You're sitting in the front. And so I want you to open your gift and just tell everybody what it is. Yeah, that's your... Isn't that an awesome gift? Alive. Now, who would like the other gift here? Do I have a? Yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't sound too excited about that. You have eternal life. Okay, these both seem like good gifts, don't they? So, we're going through a series on some of the benefits we get from being a Christian. And this morning, that benefit is eternal life. And these benefits are found in Romans chapter 8. This is from Romans 8:11. It says, "And if the Spirit of him who has risen Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." So our mortal bodies are going to be given life eternally, eternal life. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is eternal life? Like, if you had to define that, how would you define it? Chuck? You live forever. I asked Chuck that earlier, so that's why I picked on him. Does anybody, how would you define eternal life? To infinity and beyond. Never die. A change of address. Anything else? You might be surprised at what you'll learn about eternal life this morning that the Holy Spirit will teach you. I'm going to look at the two gifts I handed out. Did you notice the difference between those? Blue bag and a red bag. And you will be alive eternally. Let's look at Scripture. Everyone here, everyone in the whole world will be alive eternally. Okay? So there's a difference here. Let's Matthew 25:46. This is the last verse when Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats. If you're familiar with the Matthew 25 scripture, where the sheep are people that are doing God's will, the goats are not. And so this is what Christ, Jesus Christ himself, is saying to the people who aren't doing the will of God. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. John 5:29 says, those who have done good will rise to life, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So Joanne's gift might have looked really good when she looked at it, but it may not be. It depends on where your heart is and if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will have eternal life, and there's a difference there. So Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I looked up the Greek word for death is thanatos. And this is what it means: the miserable state of the wicked dead in hell. That doesn't sound like a good place to be eternally, does it? Okay, then for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal, the Greek word, exactly what you think. It means without end, never to cease, everlasting. Life, the Greek word is zoe, and it means real life. It means genuine life. It means blessed life, an active life. It means a life devoted to God. So eternal life is being in God's presence, and it's all these things that I had just said. But then here, do you know that Jesus defines eternal life himself? And so you gave your ideas of eternal life, which lined up right in line with mine. But this is what Jesus says. John 17:3, you might want to write that down and look at it later. But John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life. That John 17 is Jesus' intercessory prayer when he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for us. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So Jesus is saying eternal life is knowing God. Did that ever cross your mind as a definition for eternal life? But that's what Jesus' own words are saying. So now the next question I had to ask myself, well, what does it mean to know God? Do you want to answer that question? What does it mean to know God to you? Any ideas? Joanne, you're smiling. Did you have some? Trust him wholly? Peace? Yeah, those are all things that come with knowing God. Here's what the Greek means. It means to know, understand, perceive, have knowledge of. Okay, that all makes sense, doesn't it? But it can also mean sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. Genesis 4:1 in the King James Version said that Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain. And if you look up the meaning of the Hebrew word that was used for knew in that verse, it's pretty much the same as the one in John 17:3. And so there's nothing more intimate than a husband and wife becoming one. And so when it says to know God, what Jesus is saying is that we need to have a deep, intimate relationship with him. This is all connected to eternal life. And so Eternal life is therefore meaning having a deep, intimate, full, quality relationship with your Heavenly Father that never ends. And so, when does eternal life start for us? The day we accept Him into our life. Often, I think we're taught in the church, and we think that that all happens in heaven. Like, we're going to get to heaven, and it's going to be an awesome thing. We're going to have this deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But God intends, and Jesus came, so we can have that relationship now, when we accept Him into our hearts. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. It doesn't say will have. It's present tense. Has eternal life. 1 Timothy 1:16 and 1 Timothy 6:12. I think if you want to read those two verses.
But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of His great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in Him and receive eternal life.
This is 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight for what we believe. Hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses.
Both those verses are saying that when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what do you get? Eternal life. And so that's meaning that we need to start right off the bat with that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. John 3:15. If you want to turn to that one. John 3:15, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For those of us who are Christians here, why did you accept Jesus Christ into your life? What was the reason you asked Him into your heart? Forgiveness of sins? So you're going to felt the Holy Spirit was prompting you to do that? Wanted to go to heaven. If we look at the next verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. That's kind of a lot of what we're talked about. We talk about as a church today, that we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. We don't want to die in our sins. We want to ask Jesus into our life to have that forgiveness. And it seems sometimes that's kind of where it ends for a lot of people. Because Jesus died to forgive my sins, and I needed to be saved, I ask Him into my heart. We want to spend eternity with Him in heaven. We want to come into God's presence. And so, we give our hearts to Jesus. But John 3:16 doesn't end there. He shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the other half of giving our hearts to Jesus Christ is having that deep, personal, intimate relationship with Him. And that's sometimes, I think, what we as a church miss. That's sometimes what I might miss in my life. That's something maybe you need to look at. Do we have that intimate relationship we should have with Jesus Christ? Jesus died on a cross, not only to save us, but so that we could have eternal life. Jesus' whole purpose on being in this earth was to point us to his heavenly Father, wasn't it? He often would say, I can't do anything if my Father doesn't want me to do it. I got to do what my Father wants me to do. But he wanted us to have that relationship with his Father. Because there's sin in our life, we can't come into God's presence. We all understand that. But because we can't come into his presence, we can't have that deep, personal, intimate relationship. And so not only did he die to save us from our sins, he died so we can have eternal life, which means a deep, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Is this making sense to you? I think this is important. So, last Sunday we talked about worship. You know, how do we worship the Father? How do we get into an aspect of worship deeper than what we've been into? You know, how should we be worshiping him? Well, if we have eternal life, if we have a deep personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, can you see how that's going to help us with our worship? Once we understand who God is, and I think we went over this maybe last Sunday, but there's a large part of our time in heaven is going to be getting to know God on a deeper, more personal level than we can ever get to here on this earth. And I think there's so much to learn about him, it's going to be a large part of eternity is going to be spent, it's going to be years just learning about him. And I think that's kind of why we're going to end up just falling down to the ground at his feet, because we're going to learn about him much better than what we know now. But he wants us to learn as much as we can now, and so we need to get more personal and intimate with him. It seems like God's been bringing up Paul and Silas a lot. I've been thinking about them again this morning. When they were in prison and they were worshiping the Lord. They were praising, what's it say? They were praising him and singing songs to the Lord. They could do that because they had a deep, personal, intimate relationship with him. And they knew him very well because of that relationship. So we need to get that same relationship they had so that we can rejoice in the Lord even when things aren't looking too rosy. Because they trusted God to know what's best for them. They trusted God to do what was best through them. I think that relationship enabled Peter to preach in the beginning of Acts when thousands of people were brought to the Lord. He was preaching about Jesus Christ, and I think it says there were 3,000 people that were saved in one day. Can you imagine that? But I think that's all because he had that intimate relationship with his Father. That relationship will deepen our worship that we have here at church. That'll deepen your worship that you do during the week with your Heavenly Father. That relationship will allow people to see a difference in you from what they used to see. There has to be a change in our lives. People have to see something different about us. Do they see that in our lives? Do they notice something different about us when we're at work or we're at the mall or we're wherever we are at the grocery store? That relationship should give us a desire to tell others about our Heavenly Father like it did to all the disciples that we read about in here. That relationship should transform my life in ways I can't imagine. That should transform your life in ways you can't imagine. If we really can get intimate with our Heavenly Father, eternal life is one of the gifts. You can get that song ready. It's one of the gifts that God has given us. And it's not for the future. It's for now. And it's such a blessing for us. He wants us to have that. And it tells us in Scripture that he's given, when you ask him into your heart, he's given that to you. Are we going to accept that gift? It was a little hard to get two people to accept gifts from me this morning, but are we going to accept that gift and use it like he intended us to? And so we're just going to close singing a song this morning. And you can just listen, you can sing along, but Connect with the Lord as you do that, as you worship Him through this song.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees? When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Father, we don't know what heaven's going to be like. And we can only imagine what it's going to be like being in your presence, but I truly believe you want us to experience some of that now, here and now. We need to be in your presence here in this earth. It's not going to be as good, I don't believe, as heaven, but it's going to be good here as well if we can just have that deep, intimate relationship with you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Help us to understand what that truly means, what you really meant when you said that. But it's a gift from you, and it's what you desire in our lives. So help us to accept that and spend time with you. Stretch us, grow us, and help us to be more like you is what our prayer is. In your name we pray, amen.